Thank you, team. I don't know if by chance they decided not to put this down here until it was time for me to speak, in order to prevent people from turning it all different directions and that type of thing. But
it won't work.
Oh, it did work. Okay. I just want to give you one brief announcement regarding this coming week. This coming Wednesday, we'll not be having any services here at the church, but Thursday evening, on Monday, Thursday, we'll be celebrating communion together, and we would love to have all of you come out for that communion service. That'll begin at 7 o'clock, Wednesday, or Thursday evening at 7 o'clock to commemorate Monday, Thursday. So we invite you to come out and to share together in that. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to please open up, if you would, to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. You know that we have been going through kind of a series of events that took place from the time that Jesus came in to the city of Jerusalem in the triumphal entry, which we'll be looking at the 10:45 service. But we've been looking in this service at various events that took place in that week between Monday, between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. And I want to ask you a question as we begin this particular passage of this event today, and that is, do you have your taxes done? How many are thrilled and excited that it is tax season? Well, we have a young lady back here who works for H&R Block. She is excited that it is tax season. Other than that, I want you to know you probably stand alone in that excitement. but, you know, taxes... As we look at the particular week that Jesus had, from the time that people cried hallelujah, praise him, to the time that they cried crucify him, a lot of events took place, and there were several traps that were set for Jesus. And this happens to be one of those traps in this particular passage we're going to look at in Mark chapter 12, verses 13 through 17. But the trap on this one was the issue of taxes. Should we pay our taxes or shouldn't we pay our taxes? There were, as I stated, there were several things that they tried to question him on. And how ironic that one of those issues was whether or not the resurrection is real. Now, he was going to prove that in a few short days. But the question was, is there really a resurrection? Because there was a division in the church at that time over the subject of the resurrection. And Jesus dealt with that. And next Sunday, we're going to be looking at that in this particular service. But today, we want to look at this trap that has been set for Jesus. And folks, I want to tell you, traps are still being set to try to entrap God. It comes out in different fashions, yes, because we don't have the opportunity to see Jesus' response. We have the opportunity to read what his response would be and to discover what his response would be to any of our traps, but nonetheless, we don't have the opportunity to look at him face to face, eye to eye, to see what his responses would be. But these guys had that chance. And this particular issue that they brought up, we want to look at, and I want us to look at three things out of this. I want us to look at the trap. I want us to look at the test question. Everybody loves tests. And then the third thing is I want us to look at the tables turned. So let's begin by reading this particular passage of Scripture, beginning at verse 13 of Mark chapter 12. And they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to him in order to trap him in a statement. And they came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are truthful and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay a poll tax to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay?" But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, "Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius to look at." And they brought one. And he said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." And Jesus said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were amazed at him. Let's pray. Father, teach us. Teach us to be faithful to you first and foremost. And teach us to be faithful as citizens as well. Now, Father, I ask that you would open our minds in this particular message today, that we might determine to be honorable in all that we do. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. I want you to notice, first of all, the trap that is set. We read about it in verses 13 and 14. There is an issue that is going on, and the particular individuals that are mentioned in that 13th verse, the "they," if you will, that is mentioned, we go back a little bit and we find out that this is the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. These are all leaders in the church, and they're pretty ticked off at Jesus and what he has been able to accomplish and the way that he is getting the crowds to pay attention and actually changing people's hearts, changing people's minds as to who God really is and what he has in store. Because you see, they often wanted to be the role of God, and they tried to play that role of God. And we see that happening today. We really do. We see it all over the place where people try to play the role of God. And so they set up this trap. According to verse 13, it says, "And they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to him in order to trap him in a statement." Jesus is far too intelligent to be set up by a bunch of Pharisees and Herodians, by a bunch of chief priests and scribes and elders. He's far too wise for that. But we still do it today. When we point our finger of accusation at him, "God, you're unfair. God, your restrictions are too restrictive. God, I can't drink and party the way that I want to or the way that my neighbor does, so it's your fault because you established that rule. God, I can't run with anyone that I want to run with because you set these restrictive issues on marriage. And you're ruining my fun." You see, we still try to trap God. And we have to watch it very closely. Notice, as we look at this first, the 14th verse, it says, "And they came and they said to him," now look at the tactics that they use, and you'll find this even in the way that people try to entrap God today. Look at what they say. "Teacher, we know that you are truthful and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth." You know what that's called? kissing up, buttering them up. You know, God, Jesus, we know how amazing you are and all of that. And then comes the fatal word or the fatal concept of the trap. Since you are all truth, since you do these amazing things, do we have to pay our taxes? We know you're from God. Do we have to pay our taxes? God, I took marriage vows. Do I have to honor those? God, I realize that's not my thing to take, but can't I have that and take it from my neighbor? You see, all of that. And we will gather together in praise and in worship, and we'll adore Him. And I just love the song that the group sang this morning of holiness. You know, and we'll sing that kind of thing and be, you know, just glorify God. And then we'll walk out and cheat our neighbor. Is our worship an attempt to set up God to get what we want? You want to know what kind of worship God honors? God honors worship that is in spirit and in truth. Not worship that has a motive. Jesus, we know you are truthful and defer to no one. For you are not partial to any, but you teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay a poll tax to Caesar or not? The trap. We've got you in the palm of our hands, Jesus. I pray that our worship is not to get Jesus in the palm of our hands, but instead to have Him rule on the throne of our hearts. Secondly, I want you to notice the test question. Look at verse 15. Shall we pay or shall we not pay? Shall we pay or shall we not pay? Notice the answer to the test question. But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, "Why are you testing me?" God, when I make the accusations against you, God says, "Why are you testing me? Why are you testing me?" Folks, it is never the created's privilege to question the Creator. Never. God the Creator sets the rules. He sets the rules not to enslave us, but to build us. And to honor us, and to honor His integrity. We must obey God. Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius. Bring me a coin. Now look at how he turns the tables, the third thing. The tables turned. Look at verses 16 and 17. And they brought one, and he said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said to him, "Caesar's." And Jesus said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were amazed. Folks, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a time when we're all going to stand before God and we're going to give an account for the things that we've said, for the actions we've taken, for the intention of our hearts, for the questioning of God, the question of His integrity, the questioning of His right to impose upon us His commandments. We're going to give an answer. If we have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, if we have yielded our lives totally and completely to Him, if we are individuals who are following Him with all of our heart, we're going to be able to stand before Him with a peaceful spirit. Because we're not ones who question God or try to trap Him. But if we're ones trying to trap God, trying to test Him, we're going to have an awful penalty to pay. Don't try to trap God. Don't try to make God fit your mold. Don't try to make God fit the mold of the world. But instead, honor Him as the Creator that He is. Honor Him as the one who has set the rules, and honor the rules that He has set. Be faithful to God, to His will, to His word. Be faithful and honorable with your fellow man, because that's what's going to bless our lives and going to give us hope in the life to come. When we choose to go against God's way and God's will, we actually entice others to sin. Be honorable. And watch how God blesses your life. We're going to have to stop. Would you please stand? Right before we close in prayer this morning, again, I want to remind you, Thursday evening, 7 o'clock, will be the communion service here. We invite you all to it. Let's pray. Our precious Father, please help us. The modern day church is in a world of hurt because we question You. We question Your motive. We question Your laws. We question everything that comes down the pike, because we listen to society, a society that thumbs their nose at You, because we listen to Hollywood, because we listen to news media, Father, because we listen to humanists and secularists, Father, in this society, we just don't listen to You. Please, Father, help us. Save us from this evil generation. And help us to honor You and Your word, and to be faithful to You and to Your word. Father, help us to be reflectors of Jesus Christ that do not muddy the waters, but give clear reflection. Let our lights shine for You so brightly that no one will question whose we are. Now, Father, we love You, and we thank You, and we praise You for Your love for us. For it's in Your awesome and incredible name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Have a great day in Jesus today.